my place in tech changes every day. But I don't fear the future, because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to That's Life Podcast. My name is Abby Murphy.
What up?
What's your name? You have to tell
Ryan
everybody.
Luckett. What's up, everybody?
Yeah, my name will soon be Abby Luckett. I need to fix my microphone. Usually I try to do that before.
Oh, Abby about just headbutted me with the mic.
Sorry about that.
What's up, everybody? How we doing? Abby's doing so good.
I think it's pretty obvious what we're going to talk about today, seeing as I've had a really rough day today.
You have.
Yeah.
It's been one of those days.
But I haven't had one of those days in a long time.
And you haven't.
Hopefully by the end of this, I'll not be having one of those days anymore. Yeah. But how are you first before we talk about me?
I'm doing good.
I feel like it's just going to be therapy today.
Yeah, I think it is.
Even though I've already had therapy.
I'm doing good. Feeling good. Back in the weight room, finally.
Yeah.
We're on a good schedule right now.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA's back tomorrow.
Bro.
So Abby loses me for the next 8 months, but
well, it's okay because I'm at rehearsal. Yeah. I haven't really talked about that, though, much.
Yeah, you haven't. Hey, let's can we just give a little stop real quick? Hey, let's get a little pep up.
I'm trying.
Come on, girl.
I am. I just don't think I'm going to have a lot of pep today.
Yeah, I just need a little bit more out of you.
I'm trying.
Dig deep here.
I'm trying, but don't eat your microphone.
I about just did, but I needed it a little higher because I couldn't see you.
Hi.
Hey. Hey. Let's dig a little deep here. Tell the people what's been going on with you.
Okay, well, basically, it started this morning. Well, yesterday... Okay, well... Yesterday was just like, Sundays are my lazy days and I like rest and recover. And then Monday I go back and like hit it hard. But this morning is, today's Monday and we're uploading this tomorrow. But I just woke up this morning and I was like really, really, really tired. And so I slept in. Usually I go run before we go to the gym, but I didn't really think anything of it. And I kind of like overate last night, not like overate, but just like ate past fullness because we had some really good bread.
But we had a fun date night.
It was a really, really fun date night. But I don't know. I just felt a little guilty about it waking up this morning. And I don't know. Then I just didn't feel good. And then I also didn't run. So then I was like, oh, I just don't feel like fresh, you know? And then it just kind of like lingered into this, like today. And I'm just feeling really emotional, like about everything. And I do want to say I like am exhausted today. Like, I don't know why. I got 8.5 hours of sleep last night. I took an hour and a half nap today. Like, but I just had planned to get all this work done and to just like edit and get on top of things. And I start like a new class today and none of that happened. And I just kind of feel a little bit like a failure and a lot of bit like a failure. I don't feel confident in my body. I don't feel confident in my habits or just being a healthy human being. And I know it's just an off day, but like, it's really hard when you get so deep into that off day that you're like, am I ever gonna get like out of it? And I think, too, that I just don't want to go into, like, a season of having off days. Because when you have one off day where you're sad or things don't go as much as, like, how you planned, you think back to all the other days that you had like that. And then you start to think, oh, well, I don't amount to anything. I don't have worth. I don't whatever. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now. I just feel really, 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 really low and just sad. And I kind of feel this is like super extreme, but I'm just being open and honest about how I feel, not necessarily believing this, but this is just how I feel.
People probably think I'm just awful out there. I told you I need a little pep up.
No, but
you just spill your beans like this.
I just feel,
Abby and I talked before the podcast.
Yeah. So. I feel very worthless today.
It's not true.
Like, I don't have a bright future ahead of me, and like, I don't amount to anything, and that I,
Abby,
what?
This is not true.
I know, that's, I'm just sharing how I feel though. That's why I said, like, I feel this and I don't necessarily believe it, but this is very deep into how I feel. And I feel like a lot of people have also had those days where they feel like that, which is why I want to talk about it. And I know it's not fun to hear those words out loud, but like, that's kind of why I want to say it out loud, because it's like very, very extreme. But it's the thoughts that are in my head and I can't help it. I don't think that
you can though. You can help it. There is a portion of it that you can take captive.
Yeah, but initially, like, they just go in my brain.
Yeah, and but I just want to make sure the listener knows that we don't stay there.
Right, and that's what I'm struggling with.
Yeah,
because then I'm like, oh, well, I was supposed to get all this work done today, and then I didn't. So now, you're not going to accomplish your dreams, and you're not going to accomplish being this, that, and whatever, and you're worthless, and you aren't going to be driven in work. And then there's that. And then, oh, you had ice cream 3 days in a row, but you said you were going to eat healthy today. And so that means that you're gross and disgusting and you can't stick to a diet, and whatever. And those are like legitimate things that I've thought today. So it's just really hard, and I feel like I want to share the depths of that, because it's very easy to be like, the girl that ran 100 miles, the girl that is editing all these videos, and such a happy couple, such a peppy, like, she's planning a wedding, and blah, and all these wonderful things, and they just are growing on social media, and these are all wonderful things, and also, today's a really hard day, and I still have the thoughts, just like, I bet Kim Kardashian feels this. I bet Taylor Swift feels this. I bet the Starbucks barista feels this, where they're like, I don't have a future ahead of me.
I am glad you compared us to Kim K and Taylor Swift, because we are getting to that point.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we really are. So, truly. I don't know, but it affected me so. I also think,
sarcasm, guys.
I'm trying to get it all out now so you can kind of unpack it, but I just think the other added layer is I'm a girl.
Yeah.
And I just am having a very, very moody day. Like, they got my coffee order wrong today at Dutch Bros, and I almost cried. I truly almost cried. I dropped an ice cube when I got back from my run, and I almost dumped my whole water out because I was mad that I dropped an ice cube. When I saw you on my run, I almost started crying.
It looked like because you wanted to, like, punch me in the face.
No, it wasn't even you. Yeah.
Know, but that's what it felt like. I was like, she, like, hates that I'm out here right now.
Yeah, I did. I don't know why. Not hate, but I was just like, why is he out here?
Yeah, I know. I could tell.
But that's the thing. There's no reason for me to feel that way other than I'm just moody and emotional today.
Yeah, you are.
I'm hoping it's maybe the start of a period. TMI, but everyone knows my period journey. I'm still trying to get my period back in. I'm hoping maybe that's the case, because all signs point to, like, I've had, like, such sweet cravings, hungry all the time, moody, sleepy, my stomach's been cramping. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I necessarily can't relate to a lot of those feelings, but what I can try and do is just be there for you and love you and just ask how I can help.
And that's exactly what you did.
Yeah.
Like 10 minutes before this.
Yeah, Abby and I had a little hug session for probably like a 10-minute hug session.
Yeah, this is how it went. I walked in there like with a frown on my face, like in the cartoons, like a big
frown. I thought
frown.
You like had something to talk to me about. It was so sad.
Yeah.
But, which you did, but I thought it was like serious. Well, okay, that sounded terrible. I thought it was like between us though. You know what I'm saying?
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think that's valid. Like, this isn't, I mean, it's serious, but it's not like, oh my gosh, your dog died or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just feelings and, you know. But yeah, I walked into your room and then you just kind of held your arms open and I just like plopped my head down and it was very sweet because the first thing that he said, I just kind of started word vomiting. And the first thing that he said was like, what do you need from me? It wasn't, let me try to fix her by telling her this. What's the advice that I can give that's going to solve all of her problems? Like, it was very selfless in the way of like, how can I give you what you need? What do you need from me? And I feel like so often when people come to us, naturally we want to just one answer fits all, but you kind of did that by not doing that and just asking me what I needed. And I just said, I just need you to hug me. Hmm. And that's what he did. And then, you know, it didn't necessarily like make the feelings go away, obviously, because I'm still deep in the depths here in this chair, but it lets me know I'm supported. It lets me know there's joy on days that are still hard. And the words that you spoke over me were like, spoke a lot of truth in the fact that, you know, you told me like, my worth is not defined by what I do. And you can kind of touch on a little bit of that, but just speaking truth over me in the fact of it's okay to have a day off. Like, it's not that deep. Your world is not ending just because you felt lazy today. I think it just threw me because Mondays are like, let's start the week, let's go. And now I'm like, I'm behind and I'm sad that I'm behind. And if I'm behind, then I'm going to be a failure.
And that's not true.
I know. I don't know today. I guess I don't know.
Well, I think it's important that whenever people are having bad days, like, to realize that it's okay to have a bad day. Just like it's okay to not have everything figured out. And just like whenever you're sad, it's like, it's okay to be sad, but you can't just let like your bad day. So you can't let your circumstance dictate how you feel about your character and who you are as a person. Cause that's not true. Yeah. And tomorrow's a new day.
I think I also put a lot of pressure on myself because I sit here in a warm apartment. Mm-hmm. And I have access to food and mm-hmm. I was able to go get a coffee and I was upset that the order was wrong. Some people can't even go buy a coffee. Some people can't even there are such worse scenarios. And I know we talked about this last week a little bit or the week before about like, I feel like I'm speaking out of two sides of my mouth because if someone else were to come to me and say these things, I'd be like, but your feelings are valid and you're allowed to feel sad, even if you're sad in your blessings. But I'm like, but that doesn't apply to me. But I can't feel that way. Like, that rule doesn't apply.
Yeah. Well, the rule does apply to you. You're allowed to feel that way. But there's a certain perspective that we can have whenever we're having bad days.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, the truth is that you're going to have every meal for you today and you don't even have to pay for one of them if you didn't want to, right? Like, you probably will pay for a meal. But, like, the truth of the matter is that you'll have food on your table. We have this podcast equipment we get to talk to each other about with a bright ring light behind us. We have a 3-bedroom apartment that we're in right now. Or wait, 1, 2, 2-bed.
Boy.
You get the point. We get central heating and air. We have a car to drive. We skipped one coffee shop right next to our gym to go to another coffee shop that you wanted to go to. Like, we have so many blessings and so many just additives to our lives that we can kind of get caught in like, wow, we need so much less than this to truly be fulfilled. But sometimes we can get so caught up in like the most little of things, I feel like, that are such additives in our lives that we don't even need.
You know, it's awful. I feel like the reason of like that, I guess trigger, for a lack of better words, that like kind of caused me feeling this way all started from last night feeling guilty about eating too much.
You had too much food for yourself.
Well, I ate past fullness.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I was like, oh, I didn't necessarily need that food,
mm-hmm.
to where I was like uncomfortably full. And so I felt guilty, and that guilt.
Why do you think you felt guilty for that?
Because I wasn't hungry for it.
So what is the guilt? Where's the guilt though?
Because it's classified as overeating in my brain.
But what makes you feel guilt for it though?
Satan? What do you mean?
I'm just trying to figure out the root of why you feel so guilty for having like a couple extra pieces of bread.
Because I have goals
to
eat a certain way, and that didn't align with that goal. And so I feel like I can't accomplish a goal now.
Gotcha.
What?
I don't have anything. I just said gotcha. I was just curious.
So you made me say all that and now there's not a conclusion?
Well, I think the conclusion is that I feel like you need to zoom out.
Yeah.
Because the reality of it is that you've accomplished a lot of goals over the last year. The reality of it is you've accomplished a lot of goals in your entire life. So the fact that you overate one night doesn't make you someone that can't achieve a goal, or doesn't make you a failure.
But it doesn't make me accomplish the goal.
The goal hasn't ended.
Yeah.
So you're right. Still in the process.
I feel like the more you ask me questions, the more I realize how much I'm focused on the wrong things right now.
Mm.
Because I'm like, my goal is to eat right, when the goal should be like to get to heaven.
Mm.
Or to glorify the Father, or to...
The Father.
Like, even you read my Bible.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, you're focused on an extra slice or two of bread that you ate last night that made your stomach hurt.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I feel like...
I'm humbled sitting here in this chair.
Yeah. I just think that... It's
okay. You can lay it on me. I want to preface, like, Ryan means this all out of love for the listeners, and he's a challenger, and I love that about him. So if he ever says anything where it's like, that's not very sensitive of him, it's like, that's kind of what I need in a partner, is for someone to kind of be like probing.
Yeah.
I just didn't want anyone to think like, why is he pressing her with all these questions? Or vice versa. For me, I always go to the extreme in my emotions as well. And so I don't ever want to come off insensitive towards other people in situations. Like, I know that I'm extremely blessed, but I just like to be very open about how I feel. Again, like, even though I'm very blessed, I'm very thankful, but just wanted to put both of those out there. But go ahead.
Well, I think that your first problem is a pride problem.
Yeah.
And I think everybody does it. I do it every single day. But what are you trying to get out of whenever you're like, I'm not eating right? I ate a couple of extra slices of bread. You're like, well, I'm trying to, like, is it like I'm trying to look better?
Yeah, I guess.
So, and there's I think it's a balance, because like, it's like you eat to feel good. So like.
And I just don't. I didn't last night.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Like, there is a balance of it. It's where like, well, like you overate and like it didn't make you feel good.
And I feel like that, like, gluttony is a sin.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do think there's a balance though. Cause I feel like whenever you're like, oh, I overate a little bit,
I feel like I don't have self-control, and that's a fruit of the spirit. You see what I mean?
But I feel like that's a little extreme.
Yeah. I guess I just, there isn't like a certain guideline in the Bible of what is too much and what's not. And so with like such a history of everything that I've been through with like health and stuff, my convictions kind of change a lot, I feel like.
Yeah.
As to where I'm like, oh, well, and I don't, I've in my past kind of like had, not episodes, I've never had a binge eating disorder, but I've definitely like binged. I feel like we all have at some point in our life.
Everybody's binged on something.
Right. And so I wouldn't classify last night as a binge at all. Like, I definitely was in control and like knew what I was doing. But I also like just feel like, oh my gosh, I ate too, like so much. And so then I just feel guilty.
Yeah. And the hard part too for me is I've never had experience with that, like eating disorder, or honestly, I've never had any experience with it to the point like I've never even like been in a relationship, friendship, anything with somebody that I had known that was in an eating disorder. So like challenge me back if I'm in the wrong. Like I really don't know. And you know that. But
yeah. I feel like it kind of sends me back.
Yeah.
Like that discomfort in eating, like I feel like, oh, that's what I felt like when I was trying to gain weight.
Mm.
And that was a really hard, uncomfortable feeling that was pretty recent because I did try to gain weight not too long ago.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, I don't know. I don't know if I have an answer of like the exact reason of where that guilt is coming from, but I know it has something to do with everything I've been through.
And it's not from God.
Right.
It's not from God at all.
It's just so easy to let ourselves focus on the bad.
Yeah.
Within ourselves.
Yeah.
Even though I'm out here like, focus on the good. Like, the Lord is good. And he still is good even when I feel this way. But, and I honestly, I do remember that, but it's just really hard to get caught up in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm my own worst enemy. Like, I feel like no one's putting this pressure on me except for me.
I feel like you have a really hard time of zooming out whenever you get like this.
Yeah.
Like you instantly think that something you've done is a product of who you are as a person. And it's going to change your entire future. And it's changed what you've accomplished and who you've become leading up to this.
I do feel that.
Yeah. And I feel like the problem with that is that it takes you to places that you might not even, like, you eventually get out of them, but you're still telling yourself you are this person in the moment, and that stuff kind of lingers, and it's not true.
Yeah.
Like, so when it creeps back, you're telling yourself the same things, and it's like you get scared because you feel like you're going to stay there.
So what do I do?
Well, I think the important part is to have somebody like there for you.
That's you.
Well, there's other people too. You have a lot of people that are there for you. But yeah, I'd like to be there for you.
It's just hard sometimes and my mom wouldn't care me sharing this but my mom has like walked, and we talked a little bit about this, but my mom has kind of walked through all of those stages of hardship, whether it's food related or not. I mean, this is a lot more than just food, but she's walked with me through like all of my seasons. And so I feel like sometimes sharing this with her, like she's like me in the fact of she's like, oh my gosh, what is wrong? I want to solve everything and do everything. And because it scares her. I'm her child. Mm-hmm. And she loves me so much that like she feels everything I feel. So sometimes it's just hard to tell, I guess, maybe female brains, but just people that have kind of like been with you in those times.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just a parent thing. Like, she really cares. And I think it's something too, is just you got to communicate. Like, I don't need fixed right now to anybody. That's why I asked you, like, what do you need out of me right now?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Because the best thing somebody can do is just be present. Like, I don't ever, like, if I'm going through something, I don't ever remember some crazy word somebody spoke over me. Just remember that person being there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the cool thing about God. It's like a lot of times we're not going to hear some like crazy audible words from him, like speaking over us. But he's just there, and you know he's there. But you also have his word to go to as well. And I think that's the important thing that you need to do is whenever you are saying, I'm a failure. No, you need to go to the Word and see what that truth says over you. So whenever you have those thoughts, you take them captive and you replace them. So whenever somebody's in a spell like this and they're like sad and the words are, I'm ugly, take that to the Bible and reference check that, because none of that says that in the Bible. It says you're a child of God. And then whenever you say I'm a failure, check that in the Bible, reference check that in the Bible, because it's not a competition to get to where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
Like we did nothing to earn our salvation.
So why, like, when I feel like this, do I not want to go to the Bible?
Well, I think the big thing is that whenever, I think it's instant thought for human flesh to hide whenever we kind of don't feel our best and don't feel close to God and don't feel like we're honoring God and obeying God. We just want to hide.
Yeah.
We want to creep, like, we want to get into a little ball and not talk to anybody.
I do that all the time. Like, I feel, even today, like, I didn't get anything done, so I feel like God's going to be upset with me.
Yeah.
Which is so toxic.
It is.
But it's, like, days like today where I realize, oh my gosh, like, what am I expecting of myself, and why am I putting that as a projection of what Jesus requires of me?
Well, I feel like it's crazy because I feel like there's two camps in this. There's people that think too much of their sin, and there's people that don't think enough of their sin. So people that don't think enough of their sin is usually in the camp of, I can do whatever I want, Jesus paid for it, and I don't have to live a certain way. And that camp needs to get in the Word, and that camp needs to build a true, authentic relationship with Jesus to realize what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And the other camp, which I feel like you're in, that thinks too much of your sin, is basically saying, like, I'm such a big sinner that what I'm doing here on earth isn't, the cross wasn't enough for that. So like, Jesus, your death and your resurrection wasn't enough for how much I'm a sinner on this earth, because you just guilt and shame yourself on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like, no, like, the reality of it is like, therefore there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus.
I just struggle to believe it on days like today.
Yeah.
Because I sit and I'm like, I have no future. Like, what am I going to do? I'm going to be a bad wife. I'm going to be, like, I'm jobless. I'm in school. And I'm, you know.
But you can't stay there. You have to replace those thoughts, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to replace them?
Oh, no, that's what you wanted me to do.
You're going to replace them in front of everybody.
I don't want to say it in front of everybody.
You're going
to
be a great wife.
It's easier for me to, like, share my problems than it is for me to...
Will you just say you're going to be a great wife?
What if I'm not, though?
Will you stop?
I'm actually going to cry. I'm just scared. What if I'm not?
Just say I'm going to be a great wife, please.
I'm going to be a great wife, but what if,
amen,
I'm not?
No, you can't. That's a period. There's no but.
I just feel like sometimes I don't have as much to offer as you do.
And that's not fair. It's not a competition, for one, and you have everything to offer. Like, you're like trying to like convince me, like, hey, Ryan, I'm not going to be a great wife. Like, you can get out of this right now. Like, I am choosing to marry you.
I'm just scared that I'm not going to be enough.
Enough for who?
You.
What, are you supposed to be my God?
No.
Exactly.
I just want to be able to, like, give you what you give me.
You do, and everything more. You do. Truly.
Yeah.
Oh.
I just care. The people are probably like, they're not really talking a lot. I'm just going through it, everybody.
Abby is going through it.
And it's like, this is the... I told you a couple days ago, I was like, I feel like I'm on the verge of a mental breakdown. I just don't know when it's going to come. And of course, it comes on podcast day. But life podcast has been day. Pretty good. I haven't had a day like this in a while. Sometimes you just need to have these days. But,
that's right.
But that is a fear. Like, are you not at least a little bit like... I've never been a wife before. What if I'm not good at it?
I know who you are as a person. I don't like, there's nothing else to say other than I know your character and I know who you are because I know whose you are.
I think I just feel like who I am isn't enough if I'm not like doing things and like producing things.
You like put it in your head that like, whenever you get 10 miles in and lift weights and eat good for the day, that like God is like up there like with sweatbands and a headband on like, yep, that's my girl. That's not how he's like at all. He's not your training coach. He's not your sport coach. He's not a police officer. He's a loving father.
I feel like that with all things, though. Like, with work, with reading the Bible, with prayer, like, all of it, not just fitness.
Okay, and that's why I said all those things, is because he's not up there, like, rooting you on whenever you're... Like, what do you do? Like, do the tech stuff at work. And film a, like, a, in, like... I don't know.
See?
What?
I can't even name what I do because I don't do anything.
That's not true.
I'm just kidding. I was just joking. But yeah, I see what you're saying.
And the reality of it is he does care about what you're doing. But that's not your worth as a person. Yeah. Your worth as a person is who you are in Christ.
Yeah.
Like you're a child of God. Like God knit you in your mother's womb. He knew you before he created anything.
It's so crazy how like I base my entire life on that truth and then I have one day like today and I forget it all.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, yeah, I know that. I believe that. I base my life on that. And then I make a mistake or I have a day where I'm just so sad. And I'm like, I don't know anything. And I forget it all.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's important to like take your thoughts captive and replace them with truths. Because you can't just say but every time.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it's important to have community too.
Yeah.
Me kind of getting out of like, okay, why me? Why me? Pity me. Yeah, I feel better now that I'm talking about it and talking about it with you. But that's like the importance of community and having people, whether it's a significant other, a family member, or just like a person or even a stranger. Like I'm so pro therapy. It's crazy. I love talking to my therapist about everything, like go to the church, talk to the pastor,
mm-hmm.
having people to talk to for so long. I believed that if I didn't figure it out for myself, it didn't amount to anything, which really says a lot about me even feeling these thoughts now of how I really struggle with pride. And pride isn't always like, I think I'm the best. And mm-hmm. I think like the pride that I really struggle with is I have to do everything on my own. And that's just not the case. It's not beneficial. It's not God honoring. And I realize that on days like today when I just get so caught up in myself and how important. And that's when I realized how important it is to have roots in other relationships and to pour into relationships and to put work in into conversations and share the uncomfy things, because it not only like helps you get out of the lies and the evil, but it also, again, like, bears fruit for the kingdom. And, like, this conversation, I feel like, honors the Lord in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely made me feel better, but it's just hard to understand it all when you just get so overwhelmed with your feelings.
Yeah.
But feelings are fleeting. And as females, I feel like we're emotion driven, so it's easy to base things off of emotions, but that's a scary thing to base it on when it changes all the time. And so that's why I think it's just so important to have that stable foundation of your faith. But again, like, it's just so easy to forget, especially when, like, I haven't really been reading my Bible this week. No wonder I feel this way, because I go back to, like, my feelings and my thoughts and not the truth.
I just, that is so true. One thing that I would just challenge you on is, and it is very true on the last part, is, like, you're like, I haven't read my Bible. But sometimes I feel like, and I think you need to be in your word every single day. Don't get me wrong, people. Don't, like, strike me on here. But the problem with that, to, in my opinion, is that on my bad days, I'm not in my Bible. In my good days, I am in my Bible. So I'm treating, like, the word of God like it's a give and take. Like, whenever I am in my Bible, it's like a vending machine and it's good and I got something from it, rather than trying to get closer with God when I'm reading my Bible.
Hmm.
And I think that's what you're saying, but I just want people to understand, it's not whenever I read my Bible, my good things happen to me. That's not what the Christian life is.
Right.
Our pursuit is a relationship with the Almighty, with Jesus. Our pursuit of holiness is what the Christian life is all about. So it's not about a vending machine where you're like, oh, I'm going to put a little bit of time in. Let me put a few quarters in. Let me put some of my time in. And I get something really good in return. Mm-hmm. And I get to feast on it. And it makes me feel good. Like, we're not chasing a serotonin boost. We're not chasing endorphins. We're chasing and running after holiness because we know what the end goal is. And the end goal is the eternal prize.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we're going to keep going and the circumstances are going to keep going up and down. But like you said, we have a foundation underneath us that is Christ, that is the word of God, that keeps us grounded. And while we're going through these ups and downs, it's okay to feel sad some days. It's okay to be joyful as you can. But we're chasing after an eternal prize because mm-hmm. we get reward in heaven and we get to live forever. I mean, we get to live forever.
Yeah.
So, like, we have a different perspective down here.
Tara Lee Cobble said that when she started reading the Bible to learn more about God rather than learning more about herself, that's when everything changed for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that kind of sums up a lot of what you said.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, even in Christianity, I feel like it's so amazing that people share, like, oh, follow Jesus, like, he's gonna change your life. And it's very easy to, like, confuse the joy of the Lord with an easy life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
And one of our pastors at church said this week on a Wednesday night service, but she was like, the Christian life isn't easy, but, like, don't just choose it because you think it's, like, the easy way out. Like,
mm-hmm.
it would be much easier for me to go out and, like, numb my feelings. But those are fleeting and lead to destruction.
More destruction.
And, yeah, I think that, I don't know, this is kind of going off on, like, a different side tangent now. But, like, sometimes I get lost in the fact that I I've always like loved Jesus and known Jesus, and my walk with Christ hasn't been linear in any way, but like I've been raised in a God-fearing household and have continued to like learn and who Jesus is and followed what the Bible says like the Christian lifestyle is, I guess, for like lack of better words, like thou shalt not and all that kind of stuff. And I feel so much joy from that. But I think sometimes it's hard for me to, I don't know, just like differentiate, like, it's hard for me to like put into words relating to the people that have like for you, for example, like you're like, oh, Jesus saved me from my life of destruction because I was doing this, 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 and this. And now my life is so different, but I have a quote unquote boring testimony. And so sometimes I struggle to stay, I guess, consistent in some of those like Christian practices, like reading the Bible or like prayer, because
hear me,
I feel like I compare to where I'm like, well, I don't know what it's like without Christ. Like, I don't know. Am I like making sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I would just challenge you on one thing. You're not going to hell.
But I feel like I might.
Huh?
If I don't like do enough.
So then you've gotten the Christian life all wrong.
Okay, well, maybe that was a bit extreme.
Well, that's true though.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
But what I'm saying and to you is that you don't like it. I understand you feel like repetitive in your thinking. Like it feels like repetitive following Jesus because you've done it for so long. Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't know. I just feel like sometimes like my hard times aren't, I guess, like valid in other people's hard times because.
Why are you comparing it to other people's?
Because I have a comparison problem.
He saved,
I don't know.
You.
I just am struggling because I feel like I've loved Jesus all the time.
You haven't. There was a time when you accepted him in your life. Just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, I feel like.
I'm always going to tell you that one.
I guess I just
here.
Feel like. I guess I just feel like since I do know what the joy of the Lord is and mm-hmm. I do have that, I shouldn't feel this way today. Like, yeah. It's not valid.
I see what you're saying.
That was the main point I was trying to get. I kind of took the long steps to get there, but like,
but
you know what I mean? Like other
Jesus
people have just
But
gone
Jesus
through-
promised us trouble in John 16. He said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome to the world. I have overcome the world. So
right.
He
but I feel like
that.
I feel emphasis on feel, not believe,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like since I am basing my life on Jesus, like, oh, Jesus has overcome the world. Therefore I shouldn't feel these evil feelings of the world.
Yeah, but he promised us that we would.
Yeah. Guess I just pick and choose what I want to hear out of the Bible.
But what I was saying, yeah, what I just want to go back to your boring testimony is that Jesus didn't make us bad to good. He saved us from hell to get us to heaven. So we went from dead to alive, just like you. So the guy with the crazy... And my testimony is a lot, like, people can relate to my testimony as well. Like, I got saved in college. I was really good at being a non-believer. I indulged in the world. And, like, we both went from dead to alive at some point. Yours was just way earlier than mine. Like, we both get to go and spend eternity with God forever and ever and ever. So like, I would just say like, and even like since I've been following Jesus, like it can feel a little like you can kind of get used to it a little bit. But whenever you really zoom out, it's like, oh, wait, like for literally forever, I get to be in heaven versus hell. Like, yeah. That's crazy. That is nuts. That's crazy.
That, you're so wise. Now I just feel... Ugh, I farted. Now I just feel... I just compare myself a lot. Because now I just feel guilt of like, oh, I should have known that.
That's so annoying that you do that.
I know.
Stop it.
Okay, I need to move on.
Quit doing that.
To tie up everything, I also am a little bit...
That was a tie.
With the more this podcast grows, I don't ever want anyone to hear anything we say and like take it the wrong way, or I don't know. I guess I'm just afraid of getting like canceled in some way. I don't know.
Girl, don't nobody care about us that much.
I know, but I just care that what I say, like my intentions behind it are pure.
Yeah.
And I want good. People to know my heart behind me sharing this and diving into like questioning. And I don't know everything, but I want to be open about what I struggle with and open about, you know, I may not be able to like always perfectly word and explain myself,
mm-hmm.
but no matter what your testimony is, no matter what your choices are, no matter what you're struggling with, no matter like what you believe, I still love you.
I love you too.
No, I'm telling people, but I still love you as well. But I don't know. I just want people to know my heart behind sharing all this isn't to complain or isn't to, I don't know. I'm very grateful for the life I have. Just hard day.
Yeah, that's right. And that's good though. Like,
yeah.
Everybody has hard days. Somebody listening to this is probably having a terrible day. And they're like, man, it's nice to hear somebody say me too.
Yeah. Well, thank you for encouraging me.
Yeah. Somebody needs to hear this. Loved.
Yeah. Anyways, I wanted to, let's end on a happier note.
What about questions?
Oh yeah, we'll do that too. But what I wanted to say, will you grab my phone over there? What I wanted to say is that, and we're not going to give away any details or anything. This is totally changing gears, but it's time to be happy because we set our friends up on a blind date.
Oh.
It's my first time ever doing this, but one of my favorite games to play is Matchmaker. And I have this friend, and I just feel like in today's culture, it's like you go on one date with someone and then you automatically have to get married to them. And that's just not the case.
I don't know. I don't agree with that. That's
with what?
Not, I feel like that's not how it is.
You're telling me a guy and a girl don't go on one date and then everybody's like, oh, are y'all a thing now?
I feel like there's way more casual dating that doesn't mean anything versus that.
I don't know. We also are 4 years difference. So maybe there could have been like a swap. All I know is the people I talk to, you go on one date with someone and then all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, you're all dating now? Like, are y'all boyfriend and girlfriend? Like, did they pop the question?
I don't feel like that's true. I'm against that.
Okay, well, we can agree to disagree.
Well, we're just going to ask the people what they think.
Yeah, what do you guys think?
I feel like it's a lot more casual dating culture versus that.
Maybe. I don't know. Well, maybe I've just dated the wrong people. But anyways.
Well, you're engaged now, so.
So ain't gotta worry the market. About it.
She ain't a free agent no more.
But anyways, we're trying to just be like, just go on a fun date.
Yeah, Abby just thought of a blind date with my friend and I didn't realize she was doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, as Ryan's friend, I didn't even realize. Anyways, we can't give away too much information. Yeah,
we'll give you guys more details next week.
How early is too early to put up a Christmas tree? It's never too early.
There is a line.
It's where never it's too early.
No, it is too early.
Okay, when?
I would say probably before Halloween. It's probably a little too early to put up a Christmas tree. I would say November 1. I'm a very Christmas starts early guy, but I feel like November 1 is a good start to Christmas.
I think when your spirit says it's Christmas, it's Christmas.
I'm not sure.
Dress up
I'm
for
there.
The Grinch for Halloween. The Grinch and Cindy Lou Who.
Why?
Because then you can put up your Christmas tree.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's not a bad play there.
Yeah, thank you. What do y'all think will be the hardest thing about getting married? Real can I get here?
You're going to say whatever you want to say anyway. I think that you go ahead then.
Do you know what I'm going to say?
I mean, you're going to talk about sex.
Yeah, I just think, which I think this is something I want to talk about after we get married, because I don't really want to open up the conversation too much, but I definitely want to share it at some point. I just feel like there are boundaries. We have an engagement and it's not something to really dive deep into yet. But I just think for me, like, I have saved myself forever. I've never done anything, never shown anything, never explored anything. And I am nervous about having intimacy because I don't know what to expect. I've never seen a naked body, never shown my body. I just feel like it's going to be a lot to handle. And I've told Ryan this as well. And we've had like deep conversations about it within the context of what we feel is right to talk about. But transparently, like, yeah, it makes me nervous. And I feel like there are a lot of women that also feel that way, and men as well. But I'm a woman, so I can only speak from a woman perspective. And so, yeah, transparently, like, it is something that I'm obviously excited about and simultaneously also a little bit nervous about.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, I think we're going to get lazy at some point and not want to do dishes or like take the trash out or like little things like that.
I think the hardest, anyways, we're going to get away from that.
About dishes and trash?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not true.
Okay.
I think the hardest thing is, I mean, you're one now and you have to make decisions very selflessly. And I think, I mean, that's going to take a lot of getting used to. Like, I feel like I right now am still making decisions for myself, and I'm kind of like learning that there's a lot of decisions that I am going to be making that, you know, include someone else. And I think financially speaking too will be hard, just from like, I can spend my money on whatever I want right now, and that won't be the case whenever mm-hmm. we're married. So I think that's going to be a challenge too.
I think with wedding planning though, we both have similar goals in wanting to save and wanting to put things into accounts and let it grow and that kind of stuff. So I feel like with like big money choices will be aligned.
Yeah.
It might just be like the, really, you gotta go get coffee every day?
Yeah.
Let's buy the coffee at the store kind of things. Yeah. I feel like it'll be the little stuff.
Yeah.
How do you start going to the gym for the first time?
No, the heaviest thing you're going to do that day is open the door.
That's what I was going to say. Walk in the door.
Yeah.
Just walk in.
I would say too, like, don't put so much pressure on yourself to go get this like crazy workout in. Like, just go explore it. Like, I promise you there's a lot less people at the gym looking at you than you think. And just like there's a lot fewer people looking at you when you walk into church for the first time than you think.
Mm-hmm. I was listening to a sermon on Sunday, and the guy said, which this is kind of like just a comparison thing, but I think it's really good to put in here. Like, when you go to the gym for the first time, or you haven't been to the gym in a while and you walk back in the gym, you're not just going to go max out on everything, spend 4 hours there, like, and just try to like make up for lost time. You're going to do small things that build consistency over time, like 15 minutes for like 5 days a week, then 20 minutes, then 30, and just build up. And it's the same thing with like reading your Bible. Like, we think, I put so much pressure of like, oh my gosh, I missed 2 days, now I have to read like 8 chapters to make up for it.
And, yeah.
And that's just not the case. Like, little things over time. Like, tell yourself, okay, I'm going to walk on the treadmill for 10 minutes and I'm going to do one exercise for my arms and then walk on the treadmill for 10 more minutes. That's like 30 minutes right there.
Yeah.
And that's better than sitting and share.
Also, YouTube's great. Like, you can look up anything on YouTube. You can find something.
Yeah. Someone said, how did you make, well, this is more specified to me, but I feel like we can both talk about this. Abby, how did you make yourself available in the beginning for Ryan to pursue you?
Well, she saw me and she was like, I can't get enough of him.
Something, I was talking to a friend, something I realized about myself, which I wanted to read this one because it kind of ties into what we were talking about today was how much pride I had in the fact that I thought like, well, I have to be a certain way in order to say yes to a date and an opportunity. And I have to be stronger in my faith or enough in my this or blah, 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 blah. And my friend was like, you're never going to be enough ever. You're never going to hit a certain point. Like the Lord doesn't require perfection of you in order to say yes to a date or an opportunity. And so there are definitely circumstances where you should not date. And that's a you thing. And you have to be really open and transparent with yourself in that. But what made me available was laying down my pride and being like, let's see what awesome experience I can have with a man who fears the Lord.
Hmm.
Thoughts?
It's good. Love that.
Thanks. Are you moving in or looking for a house post-wedding?
Abby and I are going to rent for probably 2 years before we look for a house.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like our plans. I think her and I are kind of aligned on the fact that home buying is great, but it also brings a lot of huge payments into play as far as like when things break, you have to fix them.
Mm-hmm.
So if we rent and live in an apartment, like if our fridge goes out, like they bring us a new one.
Yeah.
So just certain things like that. I think just practical things I would rather just.
I think that's especially not sorry. I cut you off.
No, that's pretty much all I had.
Okay. I think especially because we are like waiting to live together till marriage. Again, a lot of people think we're living together. We're not living together. Anyways, but like, yeah, we've never fully lived together, shared a house together. And I feel like that in and of itself is going to be a lot. And so, I'm a pro baby steps taker.
Yeah. You know? And I don't know if Abby and I will be living here very long. So
let's hope not. 'Cause we want to go to the beach each. What are you most looking forward to in marriage? I like this question.
I mean, I just get a built-in best friend like to sleep over with every night. I think that's like the best thing ever. That's the like awesome. Like whenever we like spend the nights together, like date nights, like I don't ever want them to end.
Yeah. It's like, okay, bye.
Yeah.
I think I'm most excited about building a life with you, which I think it's just so funny. Like that just goes to show the way our brains work is you're very like present in the moment. Like we get to have sleepovers.
Abby's like, I can't wait to retire with Ryan on a nice summer house.
I am excited to get old. Like I love just
look. You're going to be a crazy old lady.
Yeah.
You're going to not be able to sit still for your life.
I still want to do races until I die, but that's not what we're talking about here. I'm just excited to like build a life with you. Like, hopefully we're able to start a business together. Hopefully we're able to explore new places together.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're able, like, I just am so excited to see the world the way you see the world and do new experiences, not as me, but as us, as one.
Yeah, that's cool.
I just get so excited thinking about that.
We had a little honeymoon talk today. Abby and I were talking about honeymoon stuff.
Yeah, where should we go? We should ask everybody to tell us where we should go.
Yeah, we should actually put something on Instagram about that.
The places we're looking for in a honeymoon, we want like that resort style feel. Like we definitely want to stay at a resort, but we want to be somewhere where we're able to like go outside of the resort and be able to do activities on our own outside of the resort, but not, we don't want to.
We're leaning hard at Hawaii resort, but we haven't fully,
just because I'm in love with Hawaii. If you haven't listened to my Hawaii podcast, you should go listen to it. But I studied, it's called Belmont USA, if anybody's heard of it, but I spent like 2 months there, with college and lived there. And it was just, I just fell in love with the island of Oahu. And anybody you ask, like, it's my dream to live there at least for a year. Like, I just want to be there and just, I'm just so in love with the tradition, the culture, everything about that island. But anyways, I'm open to lots of places. We just don't really want to have to do a lot of planning. And we also,
we're not going to do a lot of planning,
but we aren't like people that stay in a resort forever kind of people either. We just kind of want a mix of both. Okay. Last question. Views on dating in high school. I really like this one.
I'm against it.
Fully?
Exclusively dating for the most part, yeah.
Really?
I am pro date with the intention to marry. And if you can't say you are intentionally dating somebody to marry them, then I'm against it.
Well, but what if you can say that in high school?
Okay, then we'll talk, but...
I think it's a strong, bold claim to say all high schoolers don't have those intentions.
And I also think it's a strong, it's a strong, bold claim to say that there's a ton of heartbreak in college that God didn't intend for.
In college?
Or in high school.
Oh, yeah. I think this is what I'll say. I'm not against it at all, but my views on dating in high school, I think we both come from very different high school backgrounds as well, because I was very serious about, I learned a lot throughout each one of my relationships. And at the time I was very serious about each one, and I learned,
I would argue that those relationships, you didn't need them to become the woman that you are today.
Not at all. But that doesn't mean I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, I wish I didn't have those. Like, they definitely taught me stuff.
But my argument to that is, I don't think God didn't intend for us to break our hearts that many times.
I guess that's true. I guess just the way I like view it was like,
I think, but the Lord used
that. The Lord used that. Yeah, to teach me things.
He did, because he can use anything for good.
But what I'm saying is, like, we have these feelings for people. Why are you smiling?
I've got a rebuttal.
We have these feelings for people. And if I look at someone and I'm like, oh my gosh, I really think he's a great guy. He has great values. He loves the Lord. He's attractive. I want to date him because he has qualities in someone that I could marry.
So my question is, did you have that intellect in high school? Because I feel like you said you didn't date very well in high school, like the right guys.
Yeah. And once I figured that out, I initially had that. So then we started dating, and the closer we got, then I realized we aren't a good match for each other. So then we broke up.
It caused a lot of heartbreak, didn't it?
Yeah, but I also learned from that.
My argument to it is just that God didn't intend for us to be in these tight relationships and break them off.
He didn't intend
for us to do that, and I think it trains for divorce.
I would agree. I would agree with both of that. But that doesn't mean I'm against it, because some of my friends got married right out of high school.
Right, and that's great. And I think that's awesome.
I think what you're saying can apply in college, post-grad, even adults.
Yeah.
I don't think it's high school specific. I think that's a relationship claim.
I will be very reluctant for them to date.
I don't think there's a certain age.
Reluctant, is that the word? Reluctant?
I don't think there's, I guess.
I think so.
I don't think there's a certain age that is, I think there's maturity as you grow older, but I definitely think that there are some of my friends in high school right now that I'm like, you definitely know what to look for in a potential husband. So, yeah, date the person.
And to be fair, that's what I just said.
I think we're saying the same things. We're just interpreting the question different.
But I'm a little more hesitant.
Which is great and awesome. And I'm just a little more open.
I'm what? Did you say something?
I said that's great and
you
awesome.
You said I'm great and awesome?
I said that is great.
Oh, you did say that.
No, I said that's great and awesome, I think. I don't want to gaslight you, though, because I don't remember, actually.
I'm just kidding.
I think we're saying the same things. We're just both leaning a little bit more on either side.
Yeah. So who are you voting for in this upcoming election?
And with that, we love you. Jesus loves you. And bye, that's life. Of course.